Basically, brutal weather that people were dealing with, or really incredible weather. Some people were basking in 70s. I was one of those people, because in the South and in the West and other parts of the country, we saw a real break from the 40s, 30s, whatever it was, into the 70s. So it's another crazy weekend where a lot of people were still digging out and digging out from mounds and mounds of snow. So bad that some of the TSA folks couldn't get to work. What happens when the screeners can't screen? Oh, my. Then other people have to be called into action, because it was that tough in Philadelphia. It was rough through the weekend. It was rough in Washington, D.C., parts of New York. New York City got hammered, but really, Friday, the worst day, and then it started to taper off. It depends on where we're talking about, pockets of where they didn't get any more snow, and some areas where they did get more of the white stuff. So how much, when we're all done, I keep saying this, if you had a guess as to what the total is, can you imagine? It's like guessing the jelly beans in the jar. I have no idea. I mean, how much snow overall? The snow removal factor really comes into play because of running out of salt, as some of you even called the show last week to say, yeah, I'm throwing table salt out. Bud telling us in New Jersey using table salt because there was no rock salt. You couldn't go anywhere and get rock salt. And if you had some, you probably used it all up. So that's what's pretty much was the buzz in the backyard. I say America Tonight is about that. And a lot of the conversation centered around that. And because people were inside, maybe they were watching some of the Sochi Olympics, got to see some awesome hockey action, Team USA, or some of the ice dancing stuff. Maybe you saw the downhill. As far as the men were concerned, they capped off the night with that, and that was some pretty incredible stuff. So we'll talk about the medals, and I'll fill you in on all the blanks if you don't know what happened there. But I think a lot of people, because they were forced indoors, and maybe they were just curious, they probably saw a little more of the Olympics than maybe they even wanted to tune into. But absolutely, that was a huge part of the buzz, too. And that was probably because of the conditions outside, partially. The Craigslist killer, to me, this is the craziest story that broke over the weekend. It's not a secret as to what happened there. This Pennsylvania woman who admitted to killing a man she met through a Craigslist ad. This broke a couple of months ago, actually heading into the new year. But the fact that she claims to have killed 20 other people across the country, and this is a 19-year-old. The woman's name who's in custody, her name is Miranda Barber, and she did an interview and said that she killed other people in Alaska. She killed at least 22 other people in Alaska, Texas, North Carolina, and California in the last 6 years. She said it was part of her involvement, and this is scary, in a satanic cult. She didn't have a lot of details on, you know, the murders. At least none of that came out. But she said when she hit 22, she stopped counting. So she's waiting for her trial along with her husband for the death that they caught her of a guy last November, because he responded to an ad placed on the Craigslist deal that they say this is how they got other people, offering companionship in exchange for money. This was part of the problem of the whole Craigslist thing. They tried to distance themselves from this, but this was still happening. And they were caught for this, obviously, they're going to be tried for this. And then she started to spill the beans on, okay, here's all these other murders that I stopped counting. I stopped counting after we hit a certain number. So last week, a judge at the tail end of the week granted one of the lawyers' requests to have a forensic psychiatrist evaluate her and to try to get it all out. She said she wanted to get it all out. She didn't care if people believed her. She just wanted to get it out. And so they're the FBI is trying to knock down what she's saying, as are some other law enforcement types. But in the meantime, they're head shrinking her to figure out what's really going on there. Is there any possibility? Is there truth in this, you know, whole thing, or what's it about? I think it is so incredibly creepy. It goes back to that whole thing of online. What can possibly happen when you're out there online? Some people swear by going to matchmaking sites. They have no problems. They've met their mate, all of that stuff. And then every once in a while, something creepy happens. Now, Craigslist is nothing to do with matchmaking. And here, this is something that wasn't supposed to be on Craigslist, but there's ways to disguise it. And that's apparently what happened. We'll see as all the details come out in the trial with the one guy. But the revelations of these other murders, I think, is shocking. 19 years old? I mean, man, they must have been on a tear. But if there are all these unsolved cases and they can clear up these cases in Texas and North Carolina and some of the other states that they named, can you imagine? So much for cold cases. Really, if they can seriously pin them on them, then it becomes a question of, gee, do you think death penalty should be on the table? If they can, one is bad enough, but if you're talking about dozens more, then what kind of a case do you have? And then do you go from place to place, and then you would add on the years? It would be so ridiculous. Anyway, you would have to assume that one of the prosecutors in one of the states, maybe Pennsylvania it would be, they would go for the death penalty. But first they have to get through the beginning processes of this, because we're not even there at this point anyway. We're not there yet. A lot of people have off this upcoming week into Monday because it's President's Day, and that means schools are closed. So can you imagine some of those places where they've been closed because of the snow? Yet another day off. So I thought it would be fun, if you're up and kicking, to tell me who is your favorite president. As much as we gripe about what we've seen since I've been on the air here with presidents and what's happening in the future and what's going on with the politics coming out of Washington, D.C., do you have to dive back in history to come up with your favorite president? I asked somebody this question today, and they said, well, yeah, I have to dive back in history. George Washington. That's my favorite president. Why? Because he wasn't tainted, and he fought. He fought for our freedoms, and for whatever shortcomings he had, they really couldn't exploit them, as he was numero uno. Your favorite president, you can toss that into the conversation. 855-266-5283. Meet you on the flip side. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Of all time. If you've listened to my show for a long time, you probably know who my favorite president of all time is. But I'm going to tell you anyway, just in case you're a first timer or you never ever heard me say anything about it. You've only heard me talk about emergency preparedness. Big Al wrote me a note and he said, Kate, I cannot hear you say anything more about emergency preparedness because I have to say, you did set me out to get some flashlights, but we get it. And for the people who don't get that you have to be emergency prepared after the winters we've had, after the tornadoes, after all of the things that we've endured in the past 2 years, then I'm sorry, they're going to have to fall through the cracks. Love you. Love the show. That's what Al had to say. True, but here I am saying this whole thing about being emergency prepared, and I found out the flashlight, the giant flashlight that I threw in my car, guess what? Its batteries didn't work, so I had to go get another one. Luckily, I checked, because sure enough, my clutch went out. It wasn't at night, but it was in the, kind of an emergency situation, so there you go. So I'm trying to practice what I preach anyway. My favorite president, hands down, Tom Jefferson. And, you know, is it because I grew up outside of Philadelphia, steeped in all that history, and spent time going down to Virginia and seeing Jefferson spread and learned so much about Jefferson when I was a kid? I think partially because I've read so many books about him and because I liked what he embodied, frankly. And throughout the things I've learned about him, throughout, you know, my fascination with Tom Jefferson, I think, and the fact, you know, you think of the sacrifice that he made, in a sense, because he was, in a way, in the beginning, according to history, he was a reluctant candidate, let's say. He was a member of the Continental Congress, of course, and then a member of the Virginia House of Delegates. He was the governor of Virginia during part of the Revolutionary War, And he wrote, you know, he wrote the Declaration of Independence and then was sent to France as a minister after the war. And I think, you look at, you know, the fact that Washington appointed him to be the first Secretary of State. And he just embodies the principles that I think that he espoused, embody what I see as good for the nation right from the very beginning. He was a small government guy, not a no government guy, but a sensible, smaller government guy and more about the states and pushing for that. So, and you go have to go back to 1800. He was the Republican candidate with Aaron Burr as his VP. And, you know, I've been digging into all this campaign stuff and what are some of these nasty campaigns about. And you can go back in history and there have been some nasty campaigns. And it was a pretty nasty one against John Adams because, remember, he was the VP under John Adams. So, anyway, Jefferson and Burr actually tied in the electoral vote, which set up a little bit of a controversy. And, you know, then you go from there and the fact that, you know, go to re-election in 1804, and he was renominated, of course, with, at the time, George Clinton as his VP. And Jefferson was overwhelmingly picked then. He had 162 electoral votes to his opponents, who was Charles Pinckney from South Carolina, who had just 14. But the things that he accomplished during his presidency, what he had envisioned for the United States, and you know, think of things like the Louisiana Territory, buys that from France, was at a cool $15 million. And some people say that was one of the most important things he did in the first time around for him, because he was the guy who sent Lewis and Clark on the expedition to explore the new territory. And see, I remember those vivid memories from class, from history class, and talking about Lewis and Clark and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, after his second term, he spent most of his time holed away at Monticello, and he was, deeply, deeply in debt. People think, oh, Jefferson was a millionaire, he had so much money. He sold his library, as I've recently found out, to form the Library of Congress. And it also helped him get out of debt, because he had to get out of debt. So, I don't know, it's pretty cool. And some people think that this is an ironic twist. He died on the 15th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, which would be 1826, so July 4th, 1826. And check this out, it was the same day as John Adams. So for me, for my money, and I know it's going back to founding fathers, but I would say Tom Jefferson, and I've always said this, is the guy that amazes me from history, and just in researching things about Jefferson, I find out more and more fascinating things, and I liked what he envisioned and how he boldly went after it. And sure, it was different times. You know, you're comparing different eras with different presidents. And, of course, all of them had different things that they were dealing with. But hands down, I don't need to defend it. Jefferson is my guy. Who is your favorite president? You can throw that out at 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. Or send me an email at americatonight.net. We'll talk about this in our next show a little bit, too. So, americatonight.net. Some people might say a more modern president or Reagan, I think, would come up for a lot of people. There's a lot of nostalgia over Reagan and the whole era of the Cold War and all of that for Reagan and some of the things that happened during his administration. I think in current times, I don't know that you'd have very many people if we took a poll, a legitimate poll, and could get a big number of people that strictly you're asking them, you know, put the politics aside for a second. I mean, they could have your same ideology, but who would you pick as president? I certainly think Tom Jefferson would make the list for some people. I think probably like my friend joking around with me saying Washington, because of the history of Washington, I would say Washington would probably make the list too. Reagan would certainly make the list without a doubt. JFK, for some people, would make the list because of the what would have happened thing and what happened during his presidency. And I think there are other people who would say Abraham Lincoln, and then there's other people who would say, oh, no, not Abraham Lincoln. But the ones that you, if you do a check of the web, if you just like searched presidents on the web, the ones that would come up, of course, would be all of our current presidents. So I don't know what you could say about that, but Abraham Lincoln, Ronald Reagan, Richard Nixon, but a lot of that has to do with the whole Watergate thing. Although, I think you have to give him credit for foreign relations and what he was able to do with China. Harry Truman would come up, I think. Teddy Roosevelt would come up for some people. And then you could go back to John Adams. John Adams would, I think, make the list historically of for most people. But the most popular presidents would be would probably be in good company, like Jefferson would. I would probably find that there would be people who especially liked history that would pick Tom Jefferson probably out of, probably not out of thin air, but they would probably pick Tom Jefferson too as well. Imagine Jefferson back in the day thinking, having no idea, of course, what modern times would be like, the fact that so much would be written about him and so much would be analyzed about things that he wrote and what he thought and all of his papers and that kind of stuff. And now he strikes me as somebody who wouldn't necessarily like that. Not that he didn't have any kind of an ego or sense of legacy, but that wouldn't really be Jefferson's thing. We mentioned somewhat what happened over the weekend. As far as the weather is concerned, we're going to dive deeper into that. I'll tell you some of the, unfortunately, sad things that happened over the weekend because of the weather and what the forecast is calling for ahead. Are we going to see more snow? I think spring can't get here fast enough for most people. Hang with us.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284. That's 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means, cold and flu season. But don't worry, HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
It's a cold, harsh, frostbitten awfulness.
Yeah, it could be anywhere, USA. Meaning the Midwest or even the Northeast, but that's, in the Midwest, the temperatures are so brutal. That's what people are talking about there, bundling up in the East. It's dealing with all the snow removal. In fact, it's crazy some of the things that have happened. Last week we told you the sad story about the pregnant woman who was hit and killed by the plow, and then the baby was delivered by cesarean section, and now you have the story also in New York, in Queens, where a snow plow, just an avalanche of ice and debris was shoved into a Queens restaurant. The windows shattered all over the place. There were people just scrambling, running for cover, because it sounded like a bomb went off, and that's what it sounded like, and they hit the ground, and they were at a diner, just a diner where people go. And it's usually pretty crowded for dinner and then after dinner. It happened just before 11 o'clock at night. So what happened was the truck hit a garbage can full of ice. It was propelled. It launched into the restaurant's window. And the person who was driving the plow left the scene. But then they found the person. So the accident was caught on a security camera. And, of course, they aired it all over the place in New York City, and it is crazy. There were a couple of people that actually had minor injuries that had to go to the hospital as a result of that. So there have been some very strange things that have happened as a result of the snow. Strange in the sense with, especially in New York, it seems, with snow cleanup, where they have the problems with the plows. Is it the streets? Is it not seeing something? In that case, you didn't see something. Then you had Valentine's Day on Friday on top of all of that. So what do you think is going to happen when people are ordering flowers? How are florists going to get flowers to people when they're buried in the snow? In Philadelphia, they had some terrible weather, and they kept getting dumped on, I think, the most, with the snow, how it just kept coming over and over and over and over. And when there was all said and done, in some areas they had 14 inches or more. So what some people did is they knew they had these orders up, and they knew the snow was coming, so they called people and said, can we bring the flowers a day early? Do you mind to try to get them there? Or do you care if they come late, knowing that there's just no way we're going to be able to scramble in the middle of the snowstorm and get them all out? Even if we can get some of them out, it's going to get more treacherous, and most people are told to stay off of the streets. Then you have the stuff with the ice. So ice crashing through and causing all kinds of accidents on roads that were clogged up. We know the story about Atlanta in the end of January, then what happened in Raleigh last week. People that were stranded were walking away from their cars. And then you had in Charlotte, North Carolina, you had a tractor trailer driver who had an incident where a chunk of ice just crashed through the windshield when he was driving. It fell from an overpass onto the truck. So imagine his speed. Then the chunk of ice just happens to come down. It's the size of maybe a dodgeball, and it crashes through the windshield. So the driver apparently had some life-threatening injuries. I think he's still in critical condition. But that's the kind of stuff that you're not necessarily thinking of, ice falling from an overpass, but this happens. Or things falling from trucks was happening to a lot of cars. So there'd be some ice that'd be frozen, and then as they're driving, it's getting loose. Then all of a sudden, it's like a projectile onto the cars behind a truck. And that's, like I said, something that you don't necessarily think of, but that's one of the outcomes of the kind of crazy weather that we're having. As you might get ice, you might get snow, then you get sleet, and some of that's freezing stuff, and before you know it, there's icicles and things that are then also melting the next day, or somebody's traveled from one area to another. So it's been very freakish, very nightmare. It's like somebody should have a book. Now, if I was an emergency preparedness business, if I was one of those people where, you know, I had to respond, I would just start creating a book of possibilities. Here's something you don't think of, because this doesn't usually happen to us. So here's the 15 things to watch out for. And one of them is that it's parking the car too. Not parking in a place where you look up and you see that you've got ice on a roof that could come out. I mean, the plow blowing out the storefront, you know, blowing out the diner is just crazy because of not realizing, or maybe, I'm sure not realizing, but hitting that trash can filled with ice and sending it hurling through that window. Who's thinking that when they're just sitting there looking at the snow, drinking coffee and eating some pancakes or whatever? The next thing you know, they're hitting the decks because it sounds like a bomb. And the guy's taken off, but but they have them on camera, so that was pretty nasty stuff, too. And so then here's the thing. Is snow in the forecast again for next week? I mean, that's what everybody wants to know. And, of course, it's still going to be cold temperatures. I got the weather forecast from a couple of weather folks in some locations back east in particular, because that's where the snow is forecast for. I mean, the cold, crazy temps in the Midwest it's kind of up and down. It's like a roller coaster. Some days it's going to be, it feel like it's, you know, 20 below, and then the next day it's going to be a balmy 30 degrees. But in places like Philly, they've got snow scheduled to come possibly again next Friday. And temperatures in the 30s, and then midweek in the 40s, Washington, D.C., same thing. That snow, maybe sleet, is forecast for Friday. And so it figures that it's also kind of forecast for New York as well, although they may see they've got temperatures in the 30s Monday and Tuesday, and forecast the guy from Channel 11 sent me something. They're calling for possibly light flurries. They're keeping their fingers crossed that it's just going to be light flurries on, you know, on Tuesday. It's not going to be anything heavy should they find themselves in a situation where they're getting more of it. I mean, there's signs up all over the place saying, please, no more snow. We don't want any more snow. I went by a church the other day and it said, this is why we love Texas. No snow. Come pray for the rest of the nation. I mean, they were being sarcastic, but I thought that was pretty interesting because this is part of the vernacular. This is what people are talking about. Although one thing that's been interesting is because of the amount of snow, people have been pretty creative. You know, we live in that age of Instagram and Twitter, and people are tweeting pictures of things that they're doing with the snow. The snowmen have been unbelievable this year. I mean, when I was a kid, we liked the blizzards because we didn't get them that often so that we could run around and have snowball fights and put up snowmen. But there's no lack of snow to build these snow creatures this year. So people have gotten pretty creative. I think that's what happens when you get bogged down when you're in the house too long and you got a whole bunch of snow, you come up with these ideas. They even sell now, which is, of course, brilliant in one sense. They sell snowball making plastic, this big plastic thing where it makes a dozen snowballs, really big, thick snowballs. I think it's kind of cheating because you're supposed to, when you have a snowball fight, that's the whole thing, how fast somebody is and you're going back and forth. But now you can actually go and buy something that sets the snowballs for you. Just fill it with snow, boom, and there's your ammunition. And it's perfectly rounded, and now you've got your snowballs, so you don't have to sit there and try to shape them. So you're probably, well, you might lose some time, too, if somebody else is quick. But you also might gain better ammunition because you're not flinging the snow so fast. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, that's what would happen with us. By the end of it, it deteriorated because you were quickly trying to get out whatever you could just to fling it at the person as fast as possible to make sure that you kept firing back. Now, if you have to stop and you have to create these things, I don't know, it's kind of could be good in one way and bad in another way. Quickly, I want to mention this because we've had people on talking about Venezuela before. We had a Venezuelan diplomat on about a year ago talking about what things she saw in the future. And she saw that there was going to be problems in Venezuela. And they say now at least 17 people were injured in Venezuela's capital, which is Caracas, because of now what's happening, marching, a lot of unrest over what's going on in Venezuela. So you got tear gas, pellets, the national police, the whole thing, and you got a lot of problems starting to bubble up there. The president, Maduro, said he wouldn't allow highways to be blocked, and at a pro-government march in Caracas, he said he has no plans to step down. He took office last April, and he has really struggled to do what he can to help regrow Venezuela. And their inflation is the world's fastest inflation in a country, which is so crazy, in a country with the world's biggest oil reserves. And she predicted that. She predicted that if he were elected, there would be big problems. And there have been a lot of problems, a lot of protests, a lot of things happening, but he's not stepping down. We're talking Olympics next here on America Tonight.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Great news, Pure Water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
It's competing, you know. It's not really salvaging a result. Everyone's going as hard as they can. We're all trying to do what we, you know, what we think is best to win medals.
Bodie Miller, bronze in the Super G. A little composed there. Thanks for listening to America Tonight as we dive into some Olympics for you, because everybody keeps telling me they want to know what's happening. They want to know the medal count, that kind of thing. So Miller now has 6 Olympic medals, which is pretty awesome. I mean, that's a great record for him to have that total. And he was holding on to the gold for a while at 36. And what a run he had on a really crazy course that has had some problems because of how warm the weather is. But here's the thing. Afterwards, he was interviewed, you know, almost immediately. You could tell he was emotional and excited about it and all that kind of stuff. And when he was being interviewed, he started to break down because the woman interviewing him kept asking him about what he was looking up to the sky. And, you know, it was a tough year because he lost his brother and what did this mean to him. And you could just tell he was, you know, beyond words at one point as he got so super emotional. He said, you know, to be on the podium is a big day for me. And I had a lot riding on it, a lot of mistakes. I'm super, super happy. I'm capable of winning medals, but so are other guys and that kind of thing. And I think in his personal life, there's been other things that have happened as well. But what's interesting is that he kept getting pressed again and again and again after he answered the questions, after he was super, super emotional. And I was sitting there watching, and I kept thinking to myself, wow, how much do you want from the guy when he's already emotional, he's already tearing up, he's already, he's already obviously upset, and he's already given you answers. He's given you a ton of answers, and I just don't get it. I think the press was, I think the press to push him to answer more and more questions was ridiculous. Matt, I know that you didn't see this, but you heard about it, and I know that it's on Twitter and people are talking about it. And what have you seen, or what have your buddies said about Bodie Miller? First of all, winning was huge, let's face it. Winning the bronze was huge for him, there's no question. It's his sixth medal, like I said, and it was looking like he was going to walk away without a medal. So that was big. But are more people across the web talking about this? I can see this on Twitter.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot of people that are upset by it, and there are several like fellow media members that can't believe, because NBC, I mean, they pre-tape all this stuff and have hours to edit
and they didn't
touch it at all. They left it all in as it was, and I think there are people saying that the producer, the interviewer, the cameraman, like all these people should be suspended and I don't know. I mean, to me, I think it's a little, like, you're crossing the line a little bit. Like, it's fair to ask the question, but then to keep hounding him, like, it says that he did. I didn't see it yet, so I can't tell for sure. But, in all accounts I've seen, she keeps repeating the question about asking about his brother who died within the last year. And, I don't know, to me, like, I wouldn't go that far. I'd probably ask the question and then move on and let him have, you know, his moment and then move on, but not just, it's almost like she was badgering him with this question.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And, you know, usually, of course, I give people a lot of leeway, and I think it was fair game. She was asking about the run and asking the normal things you'd ask, but it was just too over the top for me because I thought the same thing. I don't know that people should be suspended. But it was just, he didn't need to be beat up about it after he already answered it again and again and again and again and again. I mean, that's enough is enough, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, you've got this massively emotional guy, you're getting it on camera, he looks like he's okay with that because he's letting it flow, but now move away. Give the guy some time, for goodness sake, and you got it already.
And I think NBC, for what they do an all right job as far as covering the Olympics, and they're getting better. But I don't think the people in this country realize how much they're missing out as far as the other countries go. Like, if you look at the coverage in Canada, they air 1,500 hours of Olympic coverage, and here it's 550. Like, that's such a huge difference. And other countries, they'll air things without commercial interruption. They'll air things live all across the board, whereas here you got to kind of hunt online and find, like, an NBC link, or once in a while they throw hockey games online. But, I mean, there's so much stuff that they hide from the audience and save for prime time that it's so annoying to me, because if you look at other events like the Australian Open, that's something that people, like sports, people want to watch sports live. That's how it is. And I think they're doing everyone in this country a disservice by doing that. Because if you look at ESPN's coverage of the Australian Open, they'll air it live throughout the night. Us night owls that are working the third shift can watch that live if we choose to. Then they'll re-air it later in the day. But they don't hide the coverage from you and say, we're holding on to this until 7 at night so we can get the most viewers at that time. And I think it's, you know, a disservice. Harsher words, I think, but I'm going to leave it at disservice.
All right, as somebody who does some work for NBC, I would say I love the Peacock, and I don't know that I agree with that. As a person who likes sports, I agree with Matt in that sense. I could watch it all live, and I do not like to watch constant re-rack of sports. I won't do it. If I'm going to miss something, I miss it. I won't go back and watch it. I don't like that. So I agree with that, but there's no way in this country with the television time, $775 million for the rights to the Olympics, and kind of a scattered audience since we have a gazillion channels. I don't know, because, you know, I'm not on the TV side, and I certainly wasn't have nothing to do with any of the meetings that they would have talking about the Olympics, but they'd have to be careful about packaging it, because I've even gotten letters from people saying, oh, why are you talking about the Olympics? So they have to make it or palatable for people who are not as rabid as Matt and I, who want to see it live. And I am like that. I agree. I want to see it live. I'd rather see it live. And we work unusual hours.
I don't know. I think the people who get upset about finding out results ahead of time, like, stay away from the news then. There are people who get mad that they're on Twitter and they find out results of the Olympics. Well, the whole point of Twitter is being instantaneous, like, news and information.
Yeah.
Don't be on Twitter. I mean, that's the whole thing. And, you know, like, right now we're talking about the Olympics on the radio. And if you don't want to know what happens, then, I mean, you got to kind of stay away from all types of media, I guess. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to live like that. I like to live in the now. And, you know, if I miss something, I'll find out about it. If I choose to watch it again, that's fine. But I think trying to hide the results of things and what they did with the Plushenko guy, how they kind of, like, didn't really reveal that he was pulling out. They kind of, like, dumbed it down for the audience. Like, oh, this is a big surprise. Well, it happened 12 hours ago. You know about it. It's not surprising, you know?
To be a future programmer of television.
I don't know. Well, my whole thing is they're treating their customers and their viewers like idiots. That you guys don't know what's happening.
People are idiots. You know that. You have to spoon feed them. Look what we say all the time about. And I'm not saying this audience.
You know what, but don't dumb it down for the idiots. Leave it on a level for regular people. The idiots can catch up later if they want.
All right, so there you go. He says don't dumb it down. So quickly here, Bodie Miller does get the bronze medal, and that was exciting stuff. Like I said, 6 medals for him in all, which is pretty awesome, you have to say. And there's much more to come. What's going to happen to the U.S. hockey team? Where are we headed with bobsled? You know, there's a couple of things that certainly the Americans are in line for. The ice dancers, there's some ice dancers that are really, really close to gold. And we're in, what, day 10 of the Olympics. Day 10, do you believe that? Thanks. This is not pre-recorded, by the way. Thanks for listening to this hour of America
Tonight. And if you don't want to live in the now like us, get a newspaper and you can read yesterday's news.
But I'm pumped.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.